94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Welcome to 94.1 FM, 3WBC. We're back again for an episode of VFL Rewind. Huge round of VFL just gone. Absolutely huge round. And as per usual, I'm joined in the studio by the great man, Peter Lausch. Lausch, you'd welcome to VFL Rewind.
Yeah, g'day, Brad. Fantastic round of footy and some really close games. And Southport finally dropped the game at home, so that might be a good thing for them, but because they were on such a roll. So a 39-minute quarter, at one stage we thought Robbo was up there at Southport doing the timekeeping.
The great man, Robbo, he was actually up at Sydney, and he's going to have a detailed report for us later, canteen rating and everything as well. Yeah. Just quickly on the show tonight, we've got three special guests: Andrew Sturgis, the senior coach of the Coburg Football Club. About 7:30, we've got Sammy Zito, who's the media manager at AFL for the VFL competition. Yeah. I'm looking forward to having a chat to Sam, and for our VFA legend segment, Tim Scott Brannigan. Three medals he owns from the VFL, so multi-medal winner. He's got a list. He's got a
Norm Goss,
a Todd medal and a premiership medal. So
yes, he's a former school friend of mine. So he's based over in Perth these days. He's got a hydration business over there, so he's still involved in the sporting world over there. Business is based at Subiaco. And I gave him an email last week and organised it all, so he was happy to hear from a former schoolmate.
There you go. He's got three medals. So a maximum of five medals you can win, and he's got three of the five. So that's a pretty nice little set he's got there. We had a big round of VFL, few upsets. Probably the biggest upset round, I reckon, of the season, to be perfectly honest, especially yesterday. Two of the games none of us expected to see. Brisbane gets done by Gold Coast, and also Southport. Get down by Essendon. Who would have predicted that probably 5 weeks ago?
The Gold Coast Brisbane one probably isn't such a surprise, because Gold Coast did beat Essendon by a couple of points last week at Windy Hill. So, this time of year, there's a few teams that can't make the eight, but they can actually dictate how the eight finishes. So good on Essendon for sort of really finishing off and having a good win against Southport, a 2-point win. I think that this will be the last loss Southport will have for the year, but
it could be the loss they need. Yeah. You could be on the money, Lausche. I mean, you go back in time and teams had losses that ended up shaping their season. Yeah. You think of Essendon 2000 against Footscray or Western Bulldogs.
We saw them a little bit wobbly against Box Hill, and Stephen Daniel gave him a nice roast at three-quarter time to get him across the line. So, it's just one of those things. I think sometimes when you've had a long winning streak like Southport has, that two-point loss, yes, it will hurt, but at the end of the day, they'll come out breathing fire next week. So God help them, whoever they play next week.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck to who plays in, which is Collingwood at Vic Park. So that'll be a big game. Let's get stuck straight in the scores, should we, Lausche? I'll kick it off.
Yep, go for it.
On Saturday morning at what is it called, Tramway Swimming Pool, we had a game between Sydney and Frankston at the pool. It was underwater, so that's why I called it the pool. Michael Robinson let us know that the ground was, it was pretty pretty wet conditions. I feel sorry for Robbo, and just on this, I want to say if VFL clubs can't have the facilities, I'm not talking about the standalones, I'm talking about some of the AFL clubs, if they can't put enough facilities together to have timekeepers not sitting in the open getting rained upon, maybe that ground should not host VFL. On Saturday, a bit of a report that the timekeepers were just out in the open. I think that's pretty rough.
I actually saw a photo of Robbo hiding under an umbrella.
All right.
He sent me a photo and he goes, "This is unacceptable, Peter." And Michael, that is very unacceptable. And then he told us what he paid for a chicken burger and a can of drink there as well.
What was it, $15?
$18.
So. Just on that, hypothetically, Lausche, I know this is probably over the top. What would happen if it's pouring down rain? The timekeepers haven't got, anything to keep all their equipment dry, and the timekeeping machine blows up. What would happen then? You've got to think of these things, and I reckon it's just a bit rough on the timekeepers, because they're probably the you know, when you fill out the team sheet, they're the most important people because they're the ones, besides the umpires, who officiate the game. So
yeah, no, I do find it a little bit strange. And we've seen radio stations that disappear because of facilities at Deakin University as well.
Exactly right. So yes, Sydney 89 defeated Frankston 45. Big wins to
solid win.
Yeah, solid win to him. Josh Kennedy in his comeback game had 36 disposals. So well done to him. Next one we had was a bit of a controversy again. The first few games, a bit of controversy. Yeah. This one, Richmond versus Williamstown. Damien Hardwick's got himself in the news.
Yeah, he had an exchange with a couple of Williamstown players, and Richmond have confirmed that. There's certain parts of the story that they've denied, but supposedly Damien did invite a couple of Williamstown players up in the stands, and he wanted to show them what a tough guy was, but that's the part Richmond denies. But you just got to sit there and bite your tongue and say, we have to roll with the punches. If we're good enough to win this game, we're better than that. You know, sort of just bite your tongue. And if you want to complain, you go down to the official channels Monday morning. You get on the phone, or I'm certain Richmond and the AFL and the VFL will come to some sort of resolution there.
Richmond 74 defeated Williamstown 19. So big win to the Tigers there. Next up, we had Casey versus Footscray. Casey 66 defeated Footscray 43. Casey just keep them on winning 15 in a row now. It'll be interesting if they get to 18. I reckon the big one's Brisbane. I reckon that might be the one that knock them off their perch.
I reckon you will be right. I reckon we will probably get a game like the Southport Essendon in the end. I reckon Brisbane might just knock them off because Casey have looked a little bit wobbly the last couple of weeks. We saw them firsthand against Geelong and we thought we were witnessing the first loss. And then 15 minutes into that last quarter, it was like bang, 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 and she was all over. So they are looking a little bit wobbly, but they're still winning. So they're not playing their best footy, but they're still winning.
Next one we had was Carlton versus GWS. Carlton too good, 95 to 58. Big wins of Carlton Footy Club in that one. And it sort of, makes it, not tough for GWS to make the finals, but, probably the win they needed. Paddy Dow played really good for Carlton. Hanley as well had a really good game for Carlton as well. So, yeah, Carlton look like they might have hit a bit of form again. So I thought I might have written them off a few weeks ago, but they might be coming good.
You know, they're travelling quite.
And if you want to go through the next four, Lash, you've got four from yesterday.
Okay, the game you guys covered yesterday at Preston City Oval or Genesis Oval, whatever they call it these days. Preston Bull Ants, not Preston Bull Ants, Northern Bull Ants. You guys are calling them Preston, and I've called them Preston Bull Ants. I watched the Preston Bull Ants Vaffa girls on Saturday morning at Princess Park Oval number one, so sorry about that slip up.
I think we'd all be like to call them Preston, to be perfectly honest. Hopefully in the future, they wore the Preston jumpers yesterday, I think that was the confusion, I think, for some of us. We see the Preston and we think, but they're Northern. But I think one day they might, who knows, they might go back to Preston.
You know, I fully support that. 8-11-59, and they sort of had their moments where they stuck with Box Hill there for probably half the game, and then like they have done a fair few times this year, sort of just switched off for 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and that's where all the damage can be done.
Two players from that game last year are young Will Mitchell. Jeez, he's a player.
33 possessions, Barry's son.
He can play. Can play, and I reckon if he keeps that form up, he might be one that, you know, he's maybe a bit of a smoky for the draft because he knows how to get the footy. And the other one that I didn't really know much about for Northern Bull Ants was Tynan Smith. Kick four. He's a pretty exciting player, actually, Tynan Smith. So another one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, no, there's some good footballers in that Northern Bull Ants lineup, that's for sure. Box Hill, 17-13, 1-15. So in the end, it was a nice sort of 9-goal victory to the Box Hill Hawks. The game that went 39 minutes in the last quarter up on the Gold Coast, Essendon 13-9-87 to Southport 12-13-85. And it was the second quarter where Essendon kicked 6 unanswered goals, wasn't it?
It was. It was a seesawing game, and Essendon got their noses in front late, and we thought we had it. That Southport almost got it at the end as well. So
yeah, well, it's interesting. I've actually watched Southport at Preston earlier in the year, and they kicked 8 goals in 21 minutes against the Bull Ants before half time. And then in the third quarter, they came out and kicked 5 points to 3 goals. So they can be an interesting side at times, Southport, when they're on, they're really, really on. And obviously we love them because, you know, they really look after us when we look for interviews and all that with the players and all that. But, you know, they are a side that can frustrate you as well like that. But
yeah, big win to the Dons.
Moreton Bay Central Sports Complex.
Red Rooster, you mean?
Yeah, Red Rooster Park.
That's so, it.
Sorry, Robbo. This was a seesawing game all day as well. So the Suns just got home 13-13-91 to 13-11-89. And the last game of the round was down at the Trevor Barker Beach Oval. And Port Melbourne historically have a very good record down there, and they've proven it again by having a comprehensive 51-point victory against the Zebras, 19-9-123 to 10-12-72. And the teams that had the bye.
And just quickly want to mention as well, Ethan Phillips, another 15 marks. Well, yeah. This guy is an absolute. For anyone who's not watching VFL The Recruiters, I dead set do not know what they look like. This guy, Ethan Phillips, is one of the best players in the VFL.
Well, you've also got to tell Ethan to nominate for the draft.
He's got to be a chance. I mean, if you keep on getting 10, 15 marks every game, you're a fairly good player.
Ethan needs to show some initiative there as well and nominate for the draft.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will this year.
Yeah, because he didn't nominate for the mid-season draft, so.
I'm sure he will.
Okay, and the teams that had the bye, Coburg, Collingwood, Geelong, North Melbourne, and Werribee. So that rounds off the, what was that, round 18 out and, of 22.
And with the latter, I think we're down to probably 11 teams that can make it now.
Yes.
Sandy are probably, that loss has probably cost them a spot in the finals unless they get really lucky and win.
A game and a half out. They'd have to rely on Richmond and Gold Coast.
Werribee are probably in the box seat. I know they're in 11th, but they've played one game less.
Yep.
So, and Gold Coast, I know they've got a pretty tough run as well. So
yeah.
I think, if anything, there might only be one, maybe two changes out of the eight from what we are. It's almost locked, which I can't believe because I remember early in the year, we thought it might be a bit of a logjam, but it seemed to sort itself out.
But that bottom four is still sort of pretty tight. Sydney, Box Hill, Collingwood and Richmond. There's not that much in percentage splitting those teams. So, you know, one or two of those have a bad run.
Yeah.
You know, or, God help us, maybe even a draw in one of those games like a Box Hill to Sydney. They could really throw the cat amongst the pigeons. Talking about cats and pigeons, how about the cat that got smuggled in at the
MCG? How cool was that?
Yeah. Who takes a cat to the footy?
I don't know. Someone who maybe didn't want to take their cat home. They'd been somewhere. I don't know, but it was unique.
Yeah.
Don't know who let it in.
Yeah, especially watching the dogs.
Just on that, when I seen it, I actually had a bit of a chuckle because I remember back at Northport Oval in the early, probably mid-2000s, late 2000s, there was a sign that said no dogs and it also had a sign no cats.
Yeah.
So sort of the first thing I thought of, I remember that sign that Port Vale with no cats. So there you go. Someone has brought a cat. I thought no one would ever bring a cat to a game, but they have.
Yep. You know, in Sydney, they brought a little piglet in, but in Melbourne, we do it a little bit different. We bring cats in.
Bring the old little tomcat along to the game. What type of cat was it?
I think it was a Persian blue or a Russian blue. So that tells me it's probably a Melbourne supporter that's brought it in on the Range Rover in the underground car park where there's less security checking your bags. And they probably came straight back from the snowfields.
It was quite funny to see it just sitting on a chair. I wonder if it paid for a ticket. I wonder if he paid for his own ticket. Push.
Yeah, but cats generally, when the crowd go ballistic, don't they sort of start attacking and scratching? I'm surprised the cat didn't do that.
it was a funny sight from the game, that's for sure. We're going to go to a break now. We're going to be back after the break. Really looking forward to chatting this man, the senior coach of the Coburg Footy Club, recently signed a contract extension. So looking forward to having a chat to him and Andrew Sturgis. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
3WBC Football is brought to you with the support of our sponsors.
Budget Car and Truck Rental.
Tobin Brothers Funerals.
Birdie's Mini Golf and Sports Bar.
L&P Antiques and Collectibles.
Aaliyah Framing.
Piranha Foods.
M&R Davids Constructions.
Dragon City Tattoos.
Buffalo Sports.
And the Blackburn Hotel. Thank you for your ongoing support of 94.1 FM 3WBC and 3WBC Football.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC. We're at the point of our first special guest, and great man, great special guest. I was rapt to say a few weeks ago when Coburg Footy Club announced that he had a contract extension until 2024. I think it's a fantastic decision by the Coburg Footy Club. He was appointed when COVID, sort of in the middle of COVID, so it's great that he's going to have a good run to build, develop this list. And he joins us on the line now, Andrew Surge, the senior coach of the Coburg Football Club. Andrew, welcome to VFL Rewind, and thanks for joining us.
No worries, Brad. Thanks for having me.
G'day, Sturgeo. Lowshy speaking. How are you, mate?
I'm well, Lowshy. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Congratulations on the extension, first of all. Have you seen your 2022 season at Coburg? Because there's been some really great games. You guys have been really in most of those games, but there's probably been a fair few honourable losses as well, and no one likes the honourable losses. But how have you rated your season so far?
Yeah, thanks for the kind words on the extensions. Obviously, nice to have a little bit of security and be with the group for the next couple of years. But in regards to this year, I think if I'm being completely honest, and all the statistics sort of show it, is that we've probably gone a little bit backwards on where we were in 2021. And that's not to say that we aren't sort of ahead or where we were previously, because I think when I took over the previous 4 years, we were 5 wins, 54 losses. So we acknowledge that we were coming from a long way back. But in terms of this year, yeah, we probably haven't reached the heights or achieved the things that we'd set out to. And I think a lot of that, to be perfectly honest, is probably on me and our coaching staff, that because we did have a little bit of a fast forward and some success in 2021, albeit we were 3-7 from our 10 games. Four of them we lost by under 4 points, accumulated total of 11 points. And so we probably thought we were a little bit ahead of maybe where we were, but the reality is we'd only played 10 games of football as a group. And so that's me and the coaching staff. We probably tried to accelerate things too quickly without actually having the foundation set of what's going to be good football and allow us to compete and to win games at this level. And therefore, we probably created a little bit of confusion and overload for the players. And I think since we've gone back to basics and clarified and simplified everything, probably from about the Collingwood game onwards, we've seen better performances, albeit not translating to the wins column necessarily, but certainly better performances.
I personally think you're a little bit harsh on yourself there, Andrew. We've seen teams like Williamstown and Port Melbourne struggle, and I put it down to a little bit of the salary cap issues that standalone clubs have got right now with the low salary cap, and also the under, what is it, the 6 under 22 rule. What are your thoughts on the 6 under 22 rule? Because it's virtually somebody from outside telling you how to pick your side, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is, but at the end of the day, we all play to the same rules, and I suppose that's the art of list management in a way now, and also your culture and what you're able to sort of to build to get young talent into your club, because, yeah, you have to play 6 under 22s every week, so if you can try and tap into the upper end of that talent, guys that have just missed out on the draft, and that's obviously going to hold you in good stead, because, yeah, as much as they're talented youngsters, they are largely inexperienced and probably underdeveloped from a physical sense. So to try and get the upper end of those guys is important. But, I don't know if that rule's going to stay in vogue for next year, but, if it does, we'll just continue to tap into that talent pool that hopefully comes to our club.
My personal view is I hope they get rid of it.
Be interesting what happens there. Andrew, do you feel any Coburg players are capable of making the jump to AFL level?
Yeah, all of them, to be honest. and I say that tongue-in-cheek, because I think what the last few years have shown, with the mid-season draft and guys getting taken out of the state leagues around the country and the VFL is obviously one of them, is that they're able to make the transition to AFL level and become really good AFL players. You look at someone like Kane Lambert, who's retired today, and it was only, 7 or 8 years ago that he was running around for Williamstown Football Club. So I think that most of our guys are obviously at this level because they do have a skill set that allows them to compete well at this level. And I think that the gap between AFL and VFL isn't as big as probably what everybody thinks. And there's, as you said, Lashie, there's salary cap issues and there's obviously time that probably separates us in the end. But I think there's a lot of guys that can certainly make the jump. A couple that probably come to mind is a young kid that, we probably didn't really have huge expectations coming into this year, but he's absolutely blown us away. And that's Flynn Gentile, who comes from the Calder Cannons and is actually still eligible to play NAB League this year, but has chosen to try and play against men and open age and showcase what he can do. And I think the pleasing thing for us, with Flynn, for example, is that his best three games this year have actually come against AFL-aligned talent and teams and stacked midfields. And so we feel like he's got the attributes to make it to the next level. I think the other thing that he's got as well is he's got a hunger and desire and a level of professionalism that'll see him get to the next level if he's given an opportunity.
I want to throw a few names at you, Andrew, and two of them are my favourites from Coburg. I'll start off with my number one favourite at Coburg, Eden Sibbald. Absolute love him. Love Eden. Love it. Key forward, he's a great player. Jack Mayburn and Charlie Thompson, three players I reckon that have really impressed this year. Can you tell us a little bit about those three?
Yeah, absolutely, and I couldn't agree more. And Sibba will really like that you've labelled him as your favourite there as well, Brad. So
my favourite at Coburg, 100%.
I heard the leak, but anyway.
That's Braden Crosley.
Eden, he came across from, he's been at Essendon VFL and then went to Werribee and then has obviously joined us. And really, at these previous couple of clubs, he's probably just been starved of opportunity and a little bit unlucky in a way that, as a key forward, he's been in, obviously at Essendon, his circumstances are dictated by what's available from an AFL perspective. And then at Werribee, he had Wiley Buzzer there last year and Porter and Garoni and some other guys that he was behind as well. So we probably haven't been able to see what he's capable of until he's actually given an opportunity. And I spoke to Danny Unit, who played with Eden at Essendon, and just said, what was he like? And Danny's response to me was, he could be absolutely anything. And I think what we've seen in glimpses this year is that is true, that Eden could be absolutely anything. And I think the challenge for Eden is to be able to deliver that on a more consistent basis. But he certainly has all the attributes and has shown that he can be a very good player at this level.
Losing a player like Jacob Ballard early on in the year, what did that have effect-wise on the group? Because Jacob, being a very experienced player, AFL player and all that, obviously was brought in for the experience part. Was it a big hole that you had to fill?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think you ever, when a player leaves under those circumstances halfway through the year, and to be clear for those tuning in, he left for a work opportunity in Sydney, which is going to progress his career, and ultimately that's much bigger than football. And while we would have loved to have had him for the whole year, I think the opportunity itself to, to kickstart his career or take the next step was too good to pass up. So we sent him off with our blessings, but it did. It left a void. And I think the thing that JB, and I always spoke about this in sort of the lead up to his last game, without him realising, he's actually been a catalyst for change at our club. He's obviously come from being on an AFL list and then at the successful Richmond VFL and AFL programs. And I think the main thing that he's actually driven is a desire to win and the standards that are required to do so. And his leadership has been one that's actually challenged other players and people and staff within our club to get better and to not settle for mediocrity, but to actually try and drive a winning culture. So, look, we've certainly missed that. It provides a good opportunity for others to try and step up and fill that. And we've had those guys do that so far. But, yeah, certainly having Jacob leave at that part of the year, both from an on-field and off-field perspective, was something that has hurt us.
Have we started re-signing any players for 2023? Because I'm hoping Ryan Exon was on that shopping list, because I see him as a guy that could probably run around like a Ben Jolly at VFL level until he's about 35, 36 years of age. And I'd love to see Ryan, who just recently celebrated his 100th game, maybe celebrate 200 at Coburg.
Well, we'd love that as well. And, yeah, Ryan at this stage has indicated that he wants to go on, and we would love him to as well. I don't think it's been officially made with pen to paper just yet. That's for him and Seb to work out what the financial side of it looks like, but I don't think it'll be too long before you see Ryan Exon being celebrated as coming on again.
Another man at the Coburg Football Club who's a bit of a cult figure, I like it. Apologies if I pronounce his surname wrong. Josh Diantino Sante in the long sleeves. How good is it, Sturge? I don't know if you're a long sleeve. I don't know if you like a Clarko who banned the long sleeves, but it must be exciting little play to see him out there and snagging goals from the pocket.
Yeah, it is. And that was pretty close. So Josh Diantino Sante is how you pronounce it. Don't worry, I've had a few that had made some mistakes along the way as well. But
was he related? Yeah, he is. Was he related to Renato from Preston in the late 80s?
I don't... You've stumped me there, Lashy, and I'm not going to jump at it yes or no.
Get back to us at some stage.
Josh. Yeah, I will. But yeah, Josh is, like, obviously came in last year, first year, and out of NAB League where he was first in the Knights, best and fairest in his bottom age year as a midfielder, and... basically, the conversation from AFL clubs were, you're not big enough to be a midfielder to get drafted, and so we want to see you go and play forward, and he did that, and he played as a half forward, led the NAB League in the goal kicking, and finished second in the Knights best and fairest. So he came to us as a small forward, and unfortunately actually dislocated his elbow 3 games in last year, which put him out for a fair bit. But the games that he did play, he was absolutely fantastic. And this year, we actually dropped him after the GWS game, so 2 games into the season, just because he probably wasn't delivering on, you know, what the expectations are of him in his role in the early parts of the year. And it was a difficult conversation, and one that that Josh actually sort of told me. It's the first time I've actually been dropped from any side in my career. So for him to sort of face some adversity early on in his football career, I don't think hurt him, because he's actually come back into the team since then. And as you said, Brad, he's exciting to watch, not just because what he can do with ball in hand and his goal sense, but also his willingness to compete and to tackle and the pressure, which is, you know, as you know, it's part and parcel of being a small forward today. So, the long sleeve part of it, he reps it and he runs with it, and it's his go. Good luck to him.
I guess, what is the focus now for the back end of 2022? I know you've got a big game against Geelong coming up, and I think they've lost 6 in a row, so huge opportunity against Geelong down at GMHBA Stadium. What is the focus for the back end of the season?
Yeah, so we've obviously got 4 games to go, and looked at the equation of finals, which we probably had in our sights at the start of the year, like most teams do, is probably off the table now for us. And so these games could become quite insignificant in the terms or in the context of this year. However, I think they're quite significant in the context of our journey. As I said, coming into this season, we'd only played 10 games of football as a group under me as a new coach. And by the end of this year, we would have played 28. So in the context of what that looks like in a rebuild of seasons, we're a year and a half into a rebuild, essentially. So as I said, while these games can seem quite insignificant for what this season holds and maybe what it means for other teams and for us in terms of ladder position, they are really, really important to actually hopefully propel us into next year, to getting back to playing a brand of football that we believe is what Coburg football looks like, and we believe is competitive and puts us into fight to win games week to week. So we'll be having that discussion tomorrow night. We had a bye last week, and we gave the guys the week off last week. So to really refresh and come in tomorrow night, we'll have a meeting before training and essentially put it to the players and say, well, what do you want to achieve out of these last 4 weeks? And as you said, we've got Geelong this week, who are a pretty formidable opponent, particularly down there at Geelong. But, aren't in the greatest form at the moment. So you know, like every game, there is an opportunity there, but it only comes if we're able to bring our best. So starts tomorrow night, and hopefully we can finish off the season strong.
Well, Andrew, we appreciate you joining us tonight. As we mentioned, signed a contract extension, which is fantastic for you. I think you've done fantastic this year. Been a great coach. Me and Lausch, you've been to a few of your games and seen the passion that you give the players, and it's been really refreshing.
And also the spray to the runner at the Carlton game that happened to be your brother.
Yeah, I've got to pull up on that. But anyway.
Well, Andrew, really appreciate you joining us tonight. Yeah, good luck for the back end of the season. Yeah, congratulations on a bit of long-term security signing until 2024. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Sturgeo.
Thanks, Brad and Lash. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Sturge there, senior coach of the Coburg Football Club. Great to have a chat with Sturge.
He's a good man. Very good value, Andrew. I like him. He's a good man.
He's a good man. And the thing with him is he's Coburg through. He played for Coburg Football Club for a number of years, and now he's a coach. So
yeah, no, it's good. Good to see that club will progress. I think it was a little bit. I think it was a little bit harsh on him and his coaching staff.
I probably agree. I agree.
I reckon it's more to do with the rules that they're sort of confronted with.
Yeah, I agree.
They're not the only club that have got those rules, obviously, but I think he was a little bit tough on himself.
He was, and I think you got to get the runs on the board, I guess, and he hasn't had a chance to do that because it was a point in 2020, and I mean, it's just been COVID, and we've had 14 games or 15 games this year. It's a great decision.
2023 will be his real test.
Yeah, next couple of years will definitely be great for him. We're going to go to a break now. We're going to be back after the break with our second special guest, Sam Zito from the VFL. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC.
3WBC Football is brought to you with the support of our sponsors.
Budget Car and Truck Rental.
Tobin Brothers Funerals.
Birdie's Mini Golf and Sports Bar.
L&P Antiques and Collectibles.
Aaliyah Framing.
Piranha Foods.
M&R Davids Constructions.
Dragon City Tattoos.
Buffalo Sports.
And the Blackburn Hotel. Thank you for your ongoing support of 94.1 FM 3WBC and 3WBC Football.
This game's had it all today, folks, at the MCG, the home of football. This is Maker. Oh, deep on the left half forward flank, punt road end, he chips it onto App. Oh, App comes to Memory, turns on his left and bang! That's it! That's it! Memory has kicked his 100th goal of the season!
Thanks, Rex. Plan your celebration with the Tobin Brothers Funerals Memory Maker app. Find out more at tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Tobin Brothers Funerals are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC. We're at the point of our second special guest. I'm lucky enough to have this man. He's in charge of talent and second-tier competition media manager at the AFL, a very important role at the AFL. And he joins us now, Samuel Zito. Sam, welcome to VFL Rewind, and thanks for joining us.
No, it's great to be back on. Thanks for having me.
G'day, Sam. Lausch speaking. Well, welcome back to the show. As the finals approach, obviously you guys are going to get very, very busy with the fixturing and working out grounds for these finals. I've got a scenario for you. Southport v Brisbane in a grand final. Could we see that at the Gabba or at Metricon Stadium?
I guess at the moment that's all being worked through with clubs and whatnot, so it's certainly one for probably the operations team. Having said that, when you look at the way the table's positioned at the moment, both sides are at the top end of the table. So, there's possibilities that are in place and that's being worked out with clubs at the moment. So, TBC at this stage and certainly one that's being worked on.
Okay, so now that I've thrown you under the bus in the first question, have you enjoyed the role so far, mate?
Oh, it's been brilliant. I think we're having obviously a great season where when you look at the ladder and the weekend's results probably reflected as well that, you know, we get to a month out from the finals and there's still 12 sides in finals contention. The weekend showed probably that anyone on their day can just about beat anyone, which is exactly what you want in a healthy competition, and particularly the results throughout yesterday certainly showed that the gap between the top sides and those towards the bottom end isn't as great as maybe sometimes it's perceived.
Samuel, you've been at the AFL for a short period of time, but you made a big impact, with what's going on with the coverage. I think it's been fantastic the past probably 6 months or so. You've also already got a grand final in the books under your belt, the VFLW grand final. How did you see all that going down?
It was brilliant. I think first and foremost, I think congratulations again to Essendon. What a great season to go through undefeated, and certainly I don't think anyone could say that they weren't a deserved premier. So fantastic all year, and in the end took home a premiership that they richly deserved. But how fantastic was it to see a crowd surpassing 3,000 people at Northport Oval, and supporting women's footy as well. We had obviously great conditions on the day as well, and it was a really great showcase of women's footy heading into the AFLW season. So Essendon certainly take plenty of momentum into their inaugural AFLW campaign.
What are some of the changes you would like to see for 2023? When I say changes, like, for example, salary cap changes and, say, list... we're talking about the six players under 22 rule here, which seems to have irked a lot of people. Like, I'm one that is hoping that it is abolished, but what changes would you like to see to make the competition even better?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one. I guess from my point of view, I'll leave a lot of that stuff to operations to determine and being used the role as well. I wouldn't probably get too heavily involved in that. But I think at the same time, clearly we're always listening to clubs' opinions and whatnot as well. You always want to canvass those. It's a very different competition, isn't it, when you've got standalone clubs, aligned clubs, and then there's those AFL clubs who have their own team in the competition as well. So there's plenty of factors that are at play. Obviously, there's rules that can get changed from time to time and to be determined as to what happens next year. But from my end, I think looking at the way the competition played out, particularly over the weekend, I think that there's a lot that's going right with the competition, and probably prefer to focus on the good things as opposed to those that maybe draw negative criticism.
One award that I guess has probably been a bit more publicised this year, which I think is absolutely fantastic, is the Coaches Award. We have a bolter, absolutely, he's leading by the length of Flemington Street at the moment in Jacob Dawson. I did read the great man Brenton Jonty Rhodes mentioned that it's all going to go in-house now, so we're not going to see, but it must be fantastic to have these little things that have been brought in, because I think it gives everyone a bit of a list and form guide, I think, is probably the best way to say it. And how's the response been to the Coaches Award this year?
I think it's been great. In any way you can recognise the best players in the competition, you certainly want to do that. And, I mean, you look at Jacob Dawson, what an incredibly consistent season. Polling votes to this point, just about in every game so far. So it will be interesting, I guess, as we get towards list tonight as well, because at times, I guess, we know that coaches' opinions, when they're in the inner sanctum, differ potentially from those on the outside as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out as well. But what an incredibly consistent season, and even on the weekend, his side goes down, he's still topping the disposal tally and kicking a couple of goals as well. An incredible player, and obviously the votes for the final five games won't be published, but certainly it's going to take a lot of catching to get Jacob Dawson from this point.
The competition being 21 sides, Sam, is there room in the next year or two, probably not next year because the planning would have had to have been done, for a Tasmanian side to return to the Victorian Football League?
Well, I guess we've seen with the change in the competition that sides come in and out of the competition in recent years, so you'd never say never. I guess potentially that's determined by what happens at the higher level as well. So I guess from my end, we've seen changes in competition size and in the structure as well. So I guess my response would be never say never.
Samuel, we've got a big media event coming up soon, which is the Lister Medal. Just wanted to ask, I guess, I'm not sure if you can say or not, but is it going to be streamed again? Is there going to be coverage of it? Because I know that the fans really enjoy embracing and getting involved by be able to watch the stream.
Yeah, I think we're going through that process as well, but it would be nice to be able to take it to as many people as possible. We've seen that, obviously, with our match coverage the course of this year, with every game being streamed, and gives people the option to obviously go to a game if you can't make it, to be able to watch it as well. So certainly from our end, we're really trying to expand our broadcast range throughout the course of this year, and certainly be able to watch as well.
And also another one, I guess there's probably another one that you can't say, but the grand final, I guess we're still got a few options up our sleeve, I guess, in terms of what could happen. But is there any movement on what's going on with all that, or is it still discussions going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's still ongoing. As soon as, I guess, there's an announcement that's to be made, we'll get that out as soon as possible. Obviously, plenty of factors at play, given the way the competition is this year, and also with AFLW playing at the same time as when the VFL finals will get played as well. So plenty of factors that will be going into it before a final decision is made, but that won't be too far away.
And how have you seen the competition with in your first season involved with the VFL?
Oh, absolutely loving it. I think, I guess more than anything else, it's so good to play, have footy, week in, week out. Obviously, we've had, right across the country and across the world, two very challenging years, and it's actually nice to be able to, every weekend go out and watch footy. I think that's something that, obviously, when you work in the business, it's what you're in it for, and for the fans as well. It's something, again, we all love. It's our escape from, I guess, the everyday life as well, and I think that's been the most fantastic thing about this year, is that we're able to get to this point of the season. We'll keep our fingers crossed, whatnot, but obviously to get through uninterrupted and how good it's been to have the game we love back out there every weekend.
I don't know how many games or which games you attend, Sam, but is there any, say, top three or five players that you have really stood out and believe are good draftable chances?
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, obviously, we've seen it through the mid-season. James Black already lining up for Hawthorn, which is a great story, and that's what the whole point of the mid-season draft is. I mean, we even saw it the weekend, even though it's NFL, but Jack Carmichael's been playing it at Collingwood as well, and the opportunity for mature-age players to now have an opportunity to get onto an AFL list. So I think there's plenty of good young talent that's coming through that could well make the way up and play at the elite level. But at the same time, how good is it when you get to our competition, players who have either finished at AFL level or those who are emerging get the opportunity to play senior footy. And yesterday as well, you watched the Channel 7 broadcast game, and Kai Windsor kicks a goal with in first quarter on the Channel 7 game. How great that he's a player that comes straight out of the NAB League and come up, play in his first VFL game and have his first goal kicked for his family can watch on Channel 7. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, the Channel 7 coverage has been absolutely fantastic this year. Nigel Carmody has probably been the lead, I guess. He's ex-VFL player, obviously. It was a great game for the Box Hill Hawks yesterday against the Bulldogs. Final question for me, Samuel. And that is, I guess, the media coverage this year. I guess, as I mentioned at the top, it's been fantastic. I guess the one thing that I've noticed is the short, sharp video grabs of highlights. How's all that being perceived? Because I think that's it's really brought it to the fans. I guess that quick. I guess that's what social media is these days, with the TikToks and that, where you get the short little videos. I guess how is all that? I guess how the fans appreciated that.
I think it's an opportunity to really showcase in the left. We want to, we position ourselves as the best state league company in Australia, and we obviously want to have the coverage that fits as well. So an opportunity, to be the best moment every weekend. Of course, if you can't get to a game, the live streams are there. There's mini matches, that appear on the day following the game as well. So we just want to give the recognition it deserves, and hope that any fan that can't access, a game has the opportunity to get involved in every aspect of the competition, whether that be through vision or even through stats as well. And we're really hoping that it's been well received, and certainly the numbers have been really strong as well, and just from word of mouth as well, it seems to be really well. So hoping that we can continue to take it from strength to strength as well.
Well, Samuel, we really appreciate you joining us tonight, getting a bit of insight of what's going on at the AFL. Lots of decisions, I guess, to make in the next, probably 5 weeks until we get to the pointy end of the season. Yeah, good luck with all that for the rest of the season. Thanks for joining us.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Sam Musito there from the VFL. It's great to join us.
Yeah, it was great for Sam to join us, and we'll see if we can get Sam on board maybe during the finals as well, so and see, what we where games are at. But it seems like a Queensland Grand Final might still be a possibility.
Yeah, it's on the cards.
He didn't rule it out. He didn't rule it in. So
you never know. You never know what could happen. It'll be interesting what happens. We're gonna go to a break now. We're gonna be back for our VFA Legend segment. Man with three medals, Tim Scott Brannigan, will join us very soon. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
3WBC Football is brought to you with the support of our sponsors.
Budget Car and Truck Rental.
Tobin Brothers Funerals.
Birdie's Mini Golf and Sports Bar.
L&P Antiques and Collectibles.
Aaliyah Framing.
Piranha Foods.
M&R Davids Constructions.
Dragon City Tattoos.
Buffalo Sports.
And the Blackburn Hotel. Thank you for your ongoing support of 94.1 FM 3WBC and 3WBC Football.
Ready, set. For Budget's best deals on car and truck rental, budget.com.au is good to go. It's where you'll find the best of Budget in a couple of clicks. budget.com.au. With Budget, you're good to go.
Budget Rent-A-Car Blackburn is a proud sponsor of 94.1 FM 3WBC.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC. We're at the point of our VFA or VFL Legends segment. And we have a man, as we mentioned at the top, he's got three medals. Pretty rare to have that many different assortment of medals. And one is a premiership medal, one's a Norm Goss, and one's a Todd medal. And that's a pretty amazing set of medals. And former played for Centrals in the TAC Cup, which I don't think they exist. They're Sandy Dragons now.
Yep.
Went to Collingwood, was drafted to Collingwood, went to Richmond, and then ended back at the Zebs.
It was actually at Richmond before he went to Centrals, and then they abolished the under-19s competition.
Okay. Well, he joins us on the line now, Tim Scott Brannigan. Tim, welcome to VFL Rewind, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
G'day, Tim. My former schoolmate, Peter, speaking here.
G'day, Peter. Nice to speak with you again.
Long time, no chat. Tell us the story how you got down to Sandringham, because it was an interesting couple of years for you when you were in between the age of 16 and 19.
Thanks again for having me on, guys. I think you sort of touched on some of my history just before, but I grew up in Glen Waverley. Played all my junior football down there. Managed to join the Richmond Footy Club under-19s in 1991 and play a handful of games as a 15-year-old there. Then, as you said, the under-19s competition disbanded, and that was the beginning of the Victorian State Footy League in 1992. So, it was a massive change for junior footy and I guess having zones that you were aligned to. So pretty quickly, we changed footy jumpers and moved across to what was then the Central Dragons under Slug Jordan, which was one of six teams that kicked off the VSFL competition in 1992. So had the year there, had a great year under Slug Jordan at Centrals, managed to play Teal Cup for Vic Metro, and get drafted to Collingwood at the end of 92. So that got me to a league list, which was hugely exciting. I was in year 11 at school, so I was still very young. And I think I probably hold one of the records for being the youngest ever player to be delisted by an AFL club, because I was actually delisted, unfortunately, mid-season the following year. But luckily enough, jumped on a supplementary list for a couple of years at Richmond. Played some really good footy at reserve grade level under Peter Schwab when John Northey was the coach. It sort of got to that point when I was, about 19, and didn't really feel like they were going to draft me. So that was when I joined Sandringham.
How did you find going from a club environment that Richmond was back to a sort of regional type of setup that Central Dragons was?
It was a big change. I mean, I was very young, so I was 15 years of age. At that stage, playing with 18-year-old guys, who were very close to playing league footy at Richmond. Guys like Duncan Kellaway and Ashley Prescott, Ringsbell, Nathan Bauer, guys who were pretty well knocking on the door to playing senior AFL footy. So I was very young. I loved my under-19 year at Richmond and still have some mates that, we regularly talk about those times. It was a big change because we went from being a you know, a group that was supported by, you know, the by the Richmond, you know, the Richmond community and all the, you know, all the supporters, the members, and everyone loved, you know, looking at the under-19s and seeing the future of the club, to going to a, you know, a competition and a club that was basically unsupported. It was, you know, a new competition with no real following, and it was ultimately, you know, playing in front of no crowds and essentially just our families.
Fast forward, yeah, it's 1997, the VFL Grand Final, Sandringham versus Frankston. Sandringham got the win, 73-44. Andy Collins was the senior coach. You had a team, just looking at the team now, and you had Paul Deer, you had Tim Rennetts, you had obviously yourself, had some really good players. And actually, one question I will ask you before I talk about 1997 for Grand Final, before I forget. Nick Sautner, absolute cult figure of the 90s and early 2000s. I know you, I think you crossed with him to Frankston as well. But have you got a Nick Sautner story for us? Because my favourite always is the banner when he played 250 games and they made a little banner about the size of an A4 piece of paper. But have you got any funny Nick Sautner stories?
I do. I'll start with Sautner, who was a very unique individual. He's probably listening right now. You know, it was all about Nick Sautner. But, no, quite seriously, he's a good man, Sautner. He's just a different guy, and you know, and credit to him, he carved out an incredible career at VFL.
Fantastic career.
He was, and. And he took a while to get there. Like he had a little stint at Springvale before Sandringham. That didn't really work out. He moved across to Sandringham in that year of '97, and Andy Collins, the coach, really liked him, really backed him. And I think Andy quite liked that he was, a very confident, young man who wanted to go places and thought, was very young in 97, but managed to sneak into a very, very good side and play in that premiership. And ultimately his career just, went crazy after that. He was, I think he's one of the highest goal kickers of all time and played for a long period of time, be a life member and probably a legend of the VFL. So nothing but positive things to say about Sautner. On air, maybe off air a little different, but just kidding. Sandringham was my introduction to Sandringham before 97, at the end of 94 when I was sort of playing in the twos at Richmond and not really going that far. I remember watching the 94 grand final. I know this is a Box Hill centric station I probably shouldn't be mentioning that grand final, but I remember as someone who was 19 years of age, looking at that grand final, and I was actually a St Kilda supporter as a kid, and Trevor Barker was coaching Sandringham that day, and remember watching that grand final on TV in front of a big crowd at Victoria Park, and I just thought, wow, how good's that? Trevor Barker's the coach; they've come from behind to win a monumental grand final. I'd love to be part of that. And I always say to people that the reason I went to Sandringham was largely based off of that grand final win and the fact that Trevor was the coach at the time.
It's amazing that, he ended up at Sandy, and it was a successful time for the Zebs, between in the 90s and the 2000s. I did want to talk about, I did forget to finish that 1997 premiership. I mentioned Andy Collins.
Yeah.
You were voted best on ground Norm Goss medal. Must be up there with one of your probably best highlights of your footy career, I'm guessing. Probably the ultimate you can win best on ground in a grand final.
Yeah, it was. It was a great day. Winning a premiership is the ultimate in footy, and it's something that that can't be taken from you. And we have had several reunions since the 97 flag, and we're due for what? She's 25, pretty soon, So it's a long time ago, but I'm happy to say that some of my very best friends in life were part of that premiership, are people that are all on a WhatsApp group together, all commit to an annual golf weekend together. guys like Justin Crowe and Darren Mitchelson, Nick Murray, and you know, these sorts of guys who are, you know, lifelong friends of mine, played in that game. And, yeah, you know, I played a good game, and I think probably the medal could have gone to a number of players. One guy in particular that you mentioned who I think is one of the most unsung VFL footballers of all time, who is probably the best player that I played with, is a guy called Tim Rennetts, who, you know, was just as good, if not better than me on that day, you know, and fully would have deserved to have won that medal. So, you know, great times. It's great, you know, to remember those times. Andy Collins was a phenomenal coach that year. He brought, you know, absolute class human beings to the club. Guys like Paul Deer, who, as most of you will know, you know, rest in peace, Paul, passed away last week, was just a phenomenal influence on a young guy like me. Guys like David Grant, coming back from St Kilda, Brent Nugent, Darren Baxter. I mean, it was, you know, it was a phenomenal team to be part of. And, you know, I'd say probably one of the best VFL teams, you know, of all time.
Now, Tim, way back, just after 97, 98, you made the move across to Frankston with a lot of Frankston blokes, and I bumped into Fatty Freider at 2 o'clock in the morning at the Mountain Spewer, the Mountain View Hotel in Glen Waverley, after all those movements. So you can imagine in what state Fatty was. And what was the reason that so many of you guys made the trip down the Pean Highway to Frankston, and most of you guys only stayed a year anyway then moved back? Yeah. But was it the alignment, or what was it?
It's a great question. Look, I put my VFL career into, I guess, two phases. 95 to 99 was, you know, it was 5 years of a standalone VFL club.
Yeah.
You know, one club, one vision, all aligned as, you know, to achieve one goal, and that was to win the premiership. You know, I played under three coaches, Tom Alvin, you know, Andy Collins and Graham Yates in that time, who were fantastic, and, you know, I just loved those 5 years. Unfortunately, for a lot of the sort of mid-20s VFL players at the time, you know, lots of clubs aligned with AFL clubs that brought a lot of talent into Sandringham, or into Sandringham that merged with Melbourne. Interestingly, that you met Fatty, that you spoke of Fatty. Fatty and I were vice captains of the club in 2000 at Sandringham, and neither of us played in the senior premiership. We were lucky enough to play a reserve grade premiership that year, but, you know, I think there was 14 players from Melbourne that played in that team. So, you know, whilst it was that was how it was, and you know, it was a very successful area for Sandringham with Melbourne, and now they're with St Kilda, of course. But it was also a very difficult time for established VFL players
who were
sort of coming into their mid to late 20s. To remain in the team.
We've got about a minute left to go, so we'll have to wrap it up. But before we do, we appreciate you joining us. If you want to give a little bit of a plug to what you're doing these days, we normally get asked our guests, what you're up to these days, if you want to give your business a bit of a plug in that, we've got about 30 seconds or so.
Okay, no worries. Just quickly, before I do, you mentioned Fatty and Sortner on this call. Well, guess who the three were that got talked into going down to Frankston? So that kind of finishes off that story, and that only lasted 1 year for me and about 10 for Sort. Guys, thanks for having me on. Just quickly, I've started up a healthy hydration and recovery products business over here in West Australia. It's called NIQ, ENIQ.com. You know, we supply healthier hydration products to people who play sport, people who are active, but also people who work out in the heat, particularly over here in the mining sector. So thanks for having me on. And if anyone's interested, as I said, just jump on to NIQ, which is ENIQ.com. For further details.
Well, Tim, we really appreciate you joining us, and good luck with the business. And thanks for joining us on VFL Rewind.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks again, guys, and
thanks, Pete. Cheers. Thanks, Tim. We're at the end of the show. Lashy, thank you very much for joining us.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you all again next week. You've been listening to VFL Rewind.
3WBC Football is brought to you with the support of our sponsors.
Budget Car and Truck Rental.
Tobin Brothers Funerals.
Birdie's Mini Golf and Sports Bar.
L&P Antiques and Collectibles.
Aaliyah Framing.
Piranha Foods.
M&R Davids Constructions.
Dragon City Tattoos.
Buffalo Sports.
And the Blackburn Hotel. Thank you for your ongoing support of 94.1 FM 3WBC and 3WBC Football.